Today's daf is Masechet Tzvachim, daf Samach Zayin. And today we're holding right at the beginning of the Gemara, after the Mishnah. And you will recall that we have a machloket here between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, whose real explanation is still a bit unclear. On the surface, there seems to be a machloket here. The simple case that was given to us was an olata of that was completely changed from beginning to end. You took the oila, instead of doing it in the right place, lamala, you do it lamata. Instead of doing it with the malika, which is mavdo tu simonim, you do it with only havdalah of one simon. And it means not being mavdo, in other words. Instead of doing the correct mitzui, you do hazoya. Instead of having in mind l'shem eila, you have in mind l'shem chata. So you did everything that you could possibly do wrong. Says Rabbi Yeshua, there's no problem of me'ila. Says, according to Rabbi Eliezer, this is a typical case of kachim that were nifsu, that you're ma'alim b'am. And as we pointed out, there's a machlokas in me'ila about whether this is the oraita, the rabbana, but whatever the case is, it should be a typical me'ila. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer starts asking a series of questions, which will be continued today, in the Braita against Rabbi Yoshua, and it starts to become clearer and clearer what the machloket is. So remember, once again, that it's important for us to know each and every element of the shinui in the makom, the shinui in the tsurat, netinat adam, the shinui in how it is that you do malika, and the shinui in the shame. Those are the issues that need to be taken into consideration. Here, we were mishana everything. Okay. Taina is Rabbi Eliezer, that the greater the shinui is, then the more you should be ma'il in it, in this case, because if a chatas, which doesn't even have me'ila, you are ma'ida, that if you made it the shame eila, then the halacha would be that you are ma'alim ba, you're only arguing on this case. So then an eila, which you start off with me'ila, because after all, an eila doesn't have heter l'kayanim, kol shekein, if you turn it now and do act with it as a chatas completely, it for sure should have a din of me'ila. That was the opening argument. Rabbi Yeshua responded that, well, you have to consider what you're changing it to. If you're changing a chatas to an eila, then you're going in the direction towards me'ila. But if you change an eila to a chatas, you're going from something that has me'ila to something that doesn't have me'ila. Maybe that's significant. Okay, so Rabbi Eliezer tried in the Mishnah another argument. And this time, it's from a similar case. It sounds similar anyway. Kachim, kachim, kachim. That's the equivalent of the eila, let's say. They're supposed to be b'tzofen, which is the equivalent, let's say, of lamala. You went ahead and shefted them for the shem kachim kal, which is the equivalent of the shirei of the shem to something over here to a chatas, the other to a chatas. And you changed the place. You did it bedorms. You changed everything. You changed everything, and the din over there is that you're changing in the direction of something that has less me'ila. Because kachim kalim have less me'ila because they also have heter l'kayanim. And the din is that you're also made of that you're male. So why is this an argument that it depends what you're being mishana it to? To which Rabbi Yeshua answered, well, it's also a shinui to something which at least is partially shayach to me'ila. Because kache kalim, even though the basar you're not male, but the emurim you're male, mashenken, the chatata of has no element of me'ila at all. Once there's heter l'kohanim, there are no imurim, because in l'mizbeach, el adama. That was where we left off yesterday. In a braita, we find that Rabbi Eliezer continues his argument with Rabbi Yoshua. And he says today, Tanya, Omar lo Rabbi Eliezer lo Rabbi Yoshua, I'll bring you another proof. An osham that was shechted in the tzafon, and now you did it specifically l'shem shlamim. Now, the halacha over there is your mishana, the shame, and you're nonetheless mayali. So therefore, an eila, and over there, it's talking about you'd be mayal, of course, before Zerika. By after Zerika, we just said, then it would have had to look on him. But let's talk about before Zerika. So we didn't get to the point yet of making shinuyim after the Zerika. Now, over here, there's no psul, unless, of course, according to Rabbi Eliezer personally, the sheet is that there is a psul of Shelo Lishma. But we'll talk about that later. So afanta al tatame ala ola, by the olata of, where you're arguing over here, and you're claiming that there would be no way in which it would be male, it should be not male, because I was mishana. Who cares? Afal pi shishina et shema, you'd still be male, ba, and the fact that you changed it to something doesn't matter. Now again, at this point, we're not starting off from where we were. In other words, we're not continuing. This is a different tact. This is the tact that occurs in the bright. So the assumption over here is, let us isolate one of the shinuyim. We took for granted yesterday that what's very important in the sheet of Rabbi Yoshua, but this is the bright on which it comes out that it's very important. We took this for granted. It's very important in Rabbi Yoshua that you changed every value in every parameter. So you changed the place, the malika, the hazoya, and the shame. This braita begins just with an analysis of the shame. So you were mishanishma, and it didn't help to take off the me'ila. Therefore, Zerzur really has it. The olata oath, afa pishishinachma, to be a chatat, you should also be moa. Now, the comeback to this is obvious. Amalo Rabbi Yoshua, that's because that's all you were mishane. Lo im amarta ba'asham, she'im shinat shemo, lo shinat mikomo, there's nothing else except the shinoy Hashem. And a shinoy Hashem doesn't pass, I don't know what's your problem. Tomar ba'olam Hashem came. The case of the olata of she'asa alamata, you were not only mishane the shame, you were also mishane the makom. Omar lo Rebbe Eliezer, okay, so let me talk about a case where you were mishane the makom also. I'll talk about a case of an asham, and that's similar to the case we had in the Mishnah, kachikachim, shishachato bidaram, similar to the case we had in the Mishnah, and you did it l'shem shlamim, yochia, shishina et shemo, over there is a shinui Hashem, there is a shinui makom, and as was pointed out in the Mishnah, there is a din of me'ila there. Therefore, what's the matter with saying the same thing about your olata of case? Afata al tatame ala ola, she'aval pi shishina et shema, v'shina et mikoma, mo'alimba. So the double shinui doesn't really help. Of course, over here, we have the whole point of this braita is we're trying to focus on all of the parameters, okay? So therefore, the whole point of this braita, obviously we could stop it right here. And we could simply say, well, what are you talking about over here? You're being mishana to something that is shayach to me'ila, and over there it's not shayach to me'ila. But the point of this braita is to bring out the case of each parameter separately. So we begin. There you were mishana, ridiculous, mishana, shame. You were mishana the makom. Okay, I'll give you a case of mishana the makom. So then the comeback is, ridiculous. Even though mishana the makom, you were mishana the maisa. So this is a completely different element. We're trying to deal with now the parameter changes, not whether the issue is that you were mishana for something which is able to be moelbay or not able to be moelbay, which was the response in the Mishnah after we took all of this for granted, you see. So therefore, what's Rabbi Yeshua's comeback? Amala Rabbi Yeshua, well, of course, by the Asham, you only change the shame of the Asham, the makam of the Asham, but what about the other parameter? Is there any change in the dam? Is there any change in the shita? So you do not have a case. Don't tell me you have a case that's similar. It's not similar at all. Over here we have a change in all parameters, and over there we have a change in two parameters. Tomar be'ola shishina et shema, ve'et ma'aseha, ve'et mikoma, for God's sake. You have everything over there. Now, Tosis is bothered by the fact that why doesn't he just say what he says in the Mishnah? Which the way we're learning is just a naive question. What do you mean? Why did the whole point of this bright is to bring out the parameter element instead of the question of what your Mishnah do? Because in reality, we don't care. Rabbi Yeshua is arguing back with Rabbi Eliezer for fun. Because the end result is that we need to penetrate into what he didn't want to openly say, which is that he believes you could turn an oil into a chatas. The real issue remains there between the lines. We haven't gotten to it yet. So therefore, there's no problem in a Mishnah focusing on the question of how much of a shinui towards what. And the Braita, ignoring the towards what, because that never was really an issue, and rather, how much of a psul is there in the shinui? Is it a complete shinui? But for us to throw in the question of, is it towards something that is, you're going to be meilin, as opposed to the chatas of, which is towards something that you won't be meilin, is irrelevant. Okay. Omar Rava, so Rava says now, why doesn't, and again, this bothers Tosfos, why does Rava ask this question? Rava should have asked the obvious question, which is, why don't we say the same thing we said in the Mishnah? The way we're explaining the sugya, there is no question here at all. Very, very clear. Comes along now Rava and says, why doesn't he say back to him, Rabbi Eliezer, namele, okay, I'll bring you a case in which an additional parameter was violated. Let's take Asham, that was Shachtu B'Dorom, parameter A, place. L'shem Shlamim, that was parameter D we brought yesterday, the Machshava. But let's add in now also a Shinoi Balim, which should now take the place of a Shinoi, an additional Shinoi in another parameter. I mean, if we're looking to add up the number of changes, I'll throw in another change. You did a Shinoi Balim. We're over there, you're Meshana Shmo, you're Meshana the Mokom, and let's count the Shinoi Balim as the equivalent of a Shinoi Maaseh. Because, I mean, that's the only thing that's different. Now, since he didn't say that, Minaloka Amalehachi, you following? Minaloka Amalehachi, since he didn't say that...
Balim is another parameter?
No, it's not one of the parameters that we suggested. But Rava understands that the point over here, as we're going to prove to ourselves later, the point over here is the extent of the possible change. That's the question. What is the extent of the possible change? So the extent of the possible change, there is no possible change in Maisa because there's no Shinui in Shchita that's possible. All Shchita is the same. There's no Shinui in the Dam that's possible between an Oila and Shlomim. It's exactly the same Netinat Dam. So therefore, the only other issue that remains to be addressed is the Baalut, because that is relevant when it comes to an Asham that's being brought Al Chayta. So Memela, here we didn't talk about a Shinui Baalot. So if you want to add another Shinui and make it a total change, throw in a Shinui Baalim. Take that as the equivalent then of a Shinui Maisa. That's the point. Now since obviously, here, Midaloka Amalehachi, since he didn't say that, it's clear that at this point, you know what? Okay, we get the message. That's the point. In other words, we understand what you're really saying. And let's stop playing games. Nachit Rebbe Eliezer, the time of the Rebbe Yeshua, it's clear that Rebbe Eliezer finally understood what Rebbe Yeshua was trying to tell him. And what was that? The Omer of Adabar Abba, Omer Haya Rebbe Yeshua, Ola Ta'ov Sha'asa'a Lamata, Kema'aseh Chatat L'Shem Chatat, becomes a Chatat. Since there's nothing here that can show you that this is an Ola, it's in the place of a Chatat, I'm going to do the Dam as a Chatat. And I do the Malika. The moment I do that Malika, is there anything here that is wrong with this being a Chatat? It's being brought L'Shem Chatat in the Mokom of a Chatat. With the Malika of Simen Echad, the moment I do that, it becomes a Chatat. Nimshechet. It's drawn away from its status of an Ola, and it's brought to be a Chatat Ha'ov. Once it's a Chatat Ha'ov, so then it's considered to be something in which Me'ila is no longer possible. And everything is fine. Because of the fact that Shinui Hashem is not a psul in an oila. Therefore, what happens is that the Shinuyim add up to make it what it is. And since there is no other carbon, and that we could ever say this, there's no other carbon in which every parameter could be addressed as something else, without there being a specific psul that would be involved. So therefore, we have a unique situation over here, which is that the thing that finalizes the psul is the actual malika, where malika, the moment you do the simen echad, even though that would be irrelevant to the oila, it's the completion of the aveda of the chatas. Once it's the completion of the aveda of the chatas, for an oila, this is not a malika. I would need two. So the moment that I do the malika of simen echad, I have basically completed an aveda of the chatas, and I haven't really begun the aveda of an oila. So before we can even discuss whether we're dealing with an oila over here, how would there be the psul of an oila psula, which was done in the wrong place, if it already became a bird which is a chatas. So therefore, the fact that I call it a neila is not sufficient to be deicha all of the hechsher of a chatas that has been done here. Now you're trying to take a chatas off. You're going to say that this is a neila. Go ahead and keep doing the malika. Who cares? That's irrelevant. So this is a unique case. All right, we already pointed out that we don't really have any other case in which we could talk about a mirror image of all parameters. This is the only case, the two birds. And there's this unique relationship, which we're going to be getting into later. It's like there's a whole mesecha that has involved that relationship, which is kinim. Some of which we're going to touch today, even though it's a very complex mesecha. But it's because of this mirror image that we get into all of these problems. So this is now our first gentle approach to the understanding of Rav Ada bar Ava in Rabbi Yoshua. And since Rabbi Eliezer seizes to probe the Shita of Rabbi Yoshua by attempting to bring further indications of changes in parameters that are not applicable to the birds, he finally understood that it's not simply additions of other parameters that are important. What he came to understand was, it's that it's uniquely in terms of the relationship of the Chatas Ha'of to the Olas Ha'of that we can even entertain these notions of something switching identities. That's why, points out Rava, obviously he could have kept adding other changes. Why didn't he? Because he understood that now an accretion of changes is not the point. It's a switch in identity, that's the point, and there's no way to bring a case that's similar to that. Where would you find such a case? There is no case similar to that. That's why he stops. And that's the whole point of this bright and this conversation, is to bring this out, which is why the question of Tosis becomes even less relevant. This is the point that we're trying to get to. I want to get to the moment in which I understand that the accreted changes are irrelevant. In the Mishnah, I'm trying to get to a point in which the direction of changes is irrelevant. So I finished that. Now, ask the Gemara, if this is the correct approach to Rabbi Yoshua, why wouldn't it work in the inverse? If what you're talking about is the fact that a chatas and an ola are mirror images, so then why is it that Rabbi Yoshua only argues on the case of the olata of that you do lamata, kemaisa chatas, l'shem chatas? There is where he claims that, okay, now you don't have me'ila. But in the equivalent case, which was in our first Mishnah, albeit it's not relevant to me'ila, but it's relevant to the kashrut of the korban itself. So why wouldn't he say that a chatata of, also we should argue about, chatata of that was completely inverted, namely, asa'ala mala, and you did everything in it to an ayla. You now go ahead and you make it kemase ola, namokam of the ola, l'shem the ola. We should say exactly the same thing. And it should be also a case of an ola that would be kosher. Because again, we're assuming at this point that when he says that you turned the ola into a chatas, he means you turned it into a kosher chatas and that this was a carbon like any other carbon that's kosher. So that means in the first Mishnah, where we weren't discussing Me'ila, I understand that for Me'ila, it's a question of what you turned it into. And if you turned it now, a chatas into an ayla, you would be making more problems for Me'ila. Fine. Forget about that point. Forget about the Me'ila question. But how about in terms of the kashrut question? Did it not say that in the first Mishnah that it would not be kosher? It says, no, that's psula. That, forget it. That's like the ultimate psula. And according to this, that, in fact, should be a carbon that's kosher. How do you explain that? So you should say the same thing. You should say, okay, the moment that you did the Maisa Malik, at that moment it becomes a chata sa'of, an ola sa'of. Timashech batavi ola ta'of. And don't try to tell me, well, maybe that's true. Namely, maybe indeed Rabbi Yoshua would have argued in that mission. And we just wait until later to discuss the machlokas Rabbi Yoshua in terms of Me'ila, in the second Mishnah. Maybe that's what you will try to tell me. V'chite ma'achinami. Maybe that's true. And how do you know that he wouldn't argue? Maybe the Mishnah that says that it's psula is Shaloka Rabbi Yoshua. No, sir. Because v'yom Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Bena'a, kach hi hatza'a shel Mishnah. The way that we have the Mishnah is exactly the way that it's meant to be. Now, what is he trying to say, the way we have the Mishnah? Do you have an alternative? It must be that what he means is, my love, kach hi hatza'a v'tu lo. What he's saying is, Do you note that in this long Mishnah that began at the beginning of the Perek and just ended up here on Daf Samach Zayin, which is essentially one Mishnah, the only place where we find there's a Machlokas of Rabbi Yoshua is specifically in the case of the Olata Of that was Nishchat Lamata to be a Chatas Of. Kachi Atza'ah, don't try to add on it. Don't try to claim that there was actually a different Machlokas in the first part of the Mishnah as to whether you could actually change the nature of the din of the kashrut of the chatata of that you turn into an ola. So according to Rav Adar Bar Ava's understanding of Rabbi Yeshua, that a change in all parameters is an actual change in the name of the carbon, what's the difference between the ola that's done lamata l'shem chatat and the chatat that's done lamala l'shem ola, where everything is changed to be something else? Well, I don't have to accept your understanding of what Kachi Hatzah Shal Mishnah means. It might mean exactly the opposite. What Rabbi Yochanan might be pointing out is, did you note that the last part of the Mishnah stresses that there is a machlokas and Rabbi Yoshua doesn't agree about Me'ila? Well, Kachi Hatzah Shal Mishnah. Truth is, it's been like that the whole way. Rabbi Yeshua argued all the way at the beginning. We just didn't bother telling you. Maybe that's what he means. Kachi Hatzah Shal Kula Mishnah. So maybe indeed he would have argued. Rav Ashi says, what's the matter with you? Of course he wouldn't argue. It's a completely different case. The case of the Olata Of that you do at Lamata, the moment that you do the Simen Echad, you have a Chatas. But how can you say that the Ola now, rather the Chatas that I do Lamala, the moment that I do Simen Echad, I have an Ola? I don't have an Ola until I do two Simonim. But by that time, I've already passed the Chatas. What's the connection between the two cases? The Ola that I do Lamata, the moment that I check that first Simen, I just defined it as a Chatas and didn't do anything with the Ola, because the Ola I didn't do the Malika yet. I only did one Simen. Therefore, it's a completely different case, says Rav Ashi. There's no comparison between these two cases. So Bishlem, in the case of the Ola that was Lamata, since a Chatas is kosher with Simen Echad, so that means that the moment before you even got to the question of whether this is an Ola Psula, because I didn't do anything to it yet, as far as the Ola part is concerned, all I did was make it kosher as a chatas. That's all that I did. What are you going to say? Well, but you did an oil sorry flamata. If you do an oil sorry flamata, it's possible. Where did I do an oil sorry flamata? You did the malika lamata. No, I didn't. I didn't do the malika. Where did I do the malika of an oil? The moment I did that malika of one simon, I didn't even talk about an oil. I finished a chatas. Now what happens? I'm going to continue to do the other one. If I do, no, so then it would be Mechatek Basar anyway. It's irrelevant. I finished it up, but in the other case, I have absolutely nothing to say. The Chatas, which I do Lamala, which is a shame, Oila, if I do it, but the moment that I check, what are you going to say? The moment that I check one Simon, I make it an Oila Kosher? How do I make it an Oila Kosher? The first thing that happens is I make it a Chatas Psula. Now what do you want to do? Oh, but you kept on checking. Thank God, now it's an Oila. Sorry, buddy. It's already a Pasul Chatas. How do I take a Pasul Chatas and turn it into a Kosher Oila? So such a thing is impossible. That's the whole issue over here. Therefore, let's see that inside. Rav Ashi Amar Bishlama Olata Of She'asa Lamata Kema'ase Chatat V'Shem Chatat. Since the Hekshir of the Chatas is B'Simen Echad, the Oila is only Hekshir B'Shnei Simanim, and everything else about this thing is clearly Chatas, because there's no such thing as an Olata Of Lamata. What you would want to do in order to make it possible would be say, aha! Look, it's an Oila that you did Lamata. Show me it's an Oila that you did Lamata. There's no Oila that only has one Simen. So kiva de molek basiman echad, nimshechet v'daseit chatata of. But the opposite case, where you have now the chatata of, which you want to now go ahead and you want to bring lemala. Over there it would be kiva de omamar malika b'choma kom kshera. There's nothing wrong now with the malika. I can be molek anywhere. So there was no clear-cut shinui. I'm molek basiman echad. The act of the malika is a perfectly kosher malika. What are you going to say over here? That this is a shinui. The very fact that I did malika lamala tells me that I screwed up. Why did I screw up? If I would have done the malika, forget about how I do the malika. Where I do the malika. You're saying, where I do the malika, it's clearly an indication that I'm acting out as a nailah. No, it's not. You can do a malika b'chol makom b'mizbeach, even if a chatas. It's the type of malika, not the where of the malika. The where only affects the dam. So now when I go ahead and I do my malika of siman echad, and I'm bringing this now, l'shem eila, I've got a chatas off, l'shem eila is possible. That's all. Forget about anything else. I just pass it by chatas arif. Bringing a chatas l'shem eila destroys the chatas arif, so it's ifsila. Now you're going to say, well, but I mean, come on, you kept on going, and you shechted another siman, and you went ahead, and you did the mitzui, and you didn't do hazoya, and it's clear that you really believe that this is an oila, and you acted that it's an oila. Oh, so I should take my chatas puzzle, and now, because of the way that I sprinkle it down, I suddenly turn it into an oila that's kosher. That makes sense to you? How do I turn a puzzle of carbon into a kosher carbon by making further changes in it? That's absurd. That brings us back, and harkens back to the opening in the Masechta, in which, because you made one shinui, you just keep doing other shinuyim, and now this is the way you're going to make it kosher. So there's no moment at which you can be machshir something that's kosher. That's the point. And it's given a malak basiman echad in this case. Ifsala. Now you're going to go ahead and be like another siman. So how do you want to use that additional malika or additional shinui in the dam to be mamshicha, to turn it into an oila sa'of? You can't turn it magically into something that it isn't. That explains the difference. Okay? So far so good? Yes and no. Yes and no, but I don't want to confuse you yet. So let's is it? Okay, so let's continue, and then we'll Bezrat Hashem, we'll get back to what really is problematic here. Gufa. So let's go into Rav Ada Bar Ava's Svora, how he understood Rav Yoshua. Omer Rav Ada Bar Ava, Omer haya Rav Yoshua, Olata of sha'asa lamata, kema'aseh chatat, v'shem chatat, kivan shemalak basiman echad, nimshechet v'naaseh chatat ha'of. Fine. I got a problem with this. And my problem comes from Masechet Kinim. And as we're going to see later, Masechet Kinim was authored by Rabbi Yoshua. Therefore, anything in a Mishnah here is assumed to be from Rabbi Yoshua. Therefore, it has to be consistent with Rabbi Yoshua, the way the Rav Ada Bar Ava understands Rabbi Yoshua. If we see Rabbi Yoshua saying something that's not consistent with that, then obviously we are wrong about Rabbi Yoshua, and we have to go back and start thinking along the lines of in what direction was the Shinui, like in the Mishnah, or how many Shinuyim are there, like in the Braita, but not because there's another issue that hasn't been brought to the surface, right? I want to show you that the Mishnah makes the assumption that Rav Ada Bar Ava's approach is wrong. And this is Rabbi Yeshua. Let's take a look in the Mishnah. Chatat lezo va'ola lezo. So what happened over here, let's say we have two women. Both of them were yoldot. Each of them had brought half of their carbon. So now, here, let's say here's Rachel, is Rashi's case. She requires a chatat for an oila. She already brought her oila. Leah, on the other hand, already brought her chata. So she requires an oila. So what do? They pitch in together, and they buy a king. Normally, one woman would buy a king in which two birds, one of which would be the oila lamala, and one of which would be the chatat lamata. And what they did was, is they said, okay, here is your bird, Rachel, to be the chatas, and here is your bird, Leah, to be the oila, and they give it to the Kohen. Now, if the Kohen takes these birds, and he makes the mistake of thinking that this was a nedava, right? If it's a nedava of a Cain, then both of them, of course, would have to be olot. You can't bring a chatas as a nedava.
Yes. Instead of each bringing two birds, they each bring
one bird, one sharing bird. A Cain.
One bird.
Right, the opposite.
The ships are sharing a cane.
Yeah, they
so
both.
There are two birds.
There are two birds, and the two birds in this rare case are two birds which are achat lo'olav, achat l'chatat, but they're for two different
for
people.
Both.
They're for two different people who had already done the opposite. Each one had brought half of their obligation, the other half.
The opposite.
Yeah, that's like the old. The Kohen assumes that both of them were olot because he figured that they were bringing a gift together. So if he brings both of them lamala, what happens? He brings them lamala, obviously, l'shem ola. So then mechsa kesher and mechsa pasul. The ola is going to be kosher. The chatas is going to be pasul. And therefore, the poor Leah the poor Rachel, who needed a chatas, is going to have to bring another bird. And Leah is going to be happy because at least her bird was kosher. Fine, that's fine. Now, how about in the other case, where he brings both of them lamata, thinking that both of them had brought an ola but needed to bring now a chata? So then, indeed, mechta kosher, mechta posel. So in this case, the one who needed, Rachel, who needs now her chatas, she's in luck, and the ola that was needed by Leah is now going to be needed to be brought again. But how about if the Kohen brings one lamala and one lamata? So over there, if he brings achas lamala and achas lamata, both are posel, because we don't know which one. He may have inverted it. Maybe he brought the ola of Leah lamata, and he brought the chatas of Rachel lamala. And therefore, they both have to be assumed to be posel. Shani omer hachatat karvalamala was posel, and the ola was karvalamata was posel. But the way Rav Adar Bar Ava is learning, nihi nami de ola karvalamata, what's so bad about bringing an ola lamata? It will become a chatas. Tima sheikh v'tavik chatata of. What are you talking about? Of course it would be an that's all very nice, but it's the wrong person's chatas. How are you going to be, if it was both the same person, you could say this, that bird became his chatas. How in the world is she going to be Yotzei with the other person's chatas? What do you mean? Let Leah's Ela become Rachel's chatas. Does it make sense to you? I mean, it's now it became Leah's chatas. So how's Rachel going to be Yotzei with Leah's chatas? Leah didn't know a chatas. So there's no such korban.
Let's stop.
Emor the Amr of Yeshua, stop, we're not talking about yet. Emor the Amr of Yeshua, we'll see, stop. Emor the Amr of Yeshua, bechad gavra. Betray gavring me, Amr. How do you think that one person's carbon will help the other person's carbon where they don't own it, they don't have any connection to it? So this is a naive question. Okay, fine, naive. Let me zero in on the question exactly as I want it, okay? Toshma. Okay, let's take this case. How about where you have a chatat and an ola, and you have now a stuma and a mifureshet? Now here is the question. You have two women over here that bought three kinim, and one of them needs now an ola, like in the previous case. One of them needs from a previous lada. One of them needs a chatas from a previous lada. Both of them have a new leda that they require a king, a chatas and an oil. Now, these are not all the same, because what they did over here, so in other words, one needs two olot and a chatat, and one needs two chatot and ola, right? All right. One of these kinim was to be so-and-so's chatas and so-and-so's ola, like the first case we had. One of them, as Rabbi Yaakov says, was stam. Stam, when it comes to kinim, is a technical term, which means there was no definition of which is the ola and which is the chat, which means that they're going to be defined at the time that the Kohen does it.
The Baalim is
not defined. Okay. The third Kain over here was mifurash, meaning they said, this is the definition of which bird is which, but not whose bird is whose. So stam is, I don't know which is a ola, which is a chatas. Mufurash is, I do know which is an ola and which is a chatas. And because of that, it could have been either. It's to whoever needs it. So when the Kohen does it, it goes to, as it usually does, unless, of course, he has a specific makshava, but we were mitake not to have a specific makshava. So whoever needs it, needs it. So we did not say the name of the Baalim. So what the Kohen would need to do in this case would be to bring half of it lamala to kinim, and without having a kavana for whom, and then he should have a kavana for neila, two chataot lamata, without having a kavana for whom, and then he would have to bring the one that I defined, and that was the one that was similar to the one we started with. He would have to bring it for the right person in the right place, because over there they said not only which one is the chatas and which one is the ola, they also said to whom belongs the chatas and to whom belongs the ola. Now, this Kohen makes mistakes, and here's what he does. Suppose he takes all three kinim and he does everything lamala. So if he does everything lamala, thinking that they were all olot, so then mechta kosher, mechta posel. all of the chataot become psulot, obviously, because it's a chatata of shikrima lamala, which the Mishnah said that's possible no matter what. So everyone who owed a chatas has got to now go bring another chatas for whatever's missing. The one who owed two chataot brings two. The one who owed one brings one. And the olot are fine. Okay, this is trivial. If you do mechza, you do kulam lamata, again, if everything is done lamata, once again, all the chataot are kosher, all the olot are possible, anybody who owns an ola is going to have to go bring an ola. But suppose he does half lamala and half lamata. Now, the only thing that would be kosher in this case is the cane that was left situma, in which we don't know, there was no kviut of one bird for what. And that bird became whatever it was meant to be as the coin brings it. So by definition, a cane situma that is brought half lamala and half lamata is kosher. The ola is defined by the fact that it was brought lamala. The chatas is defined by the fact that it was brought lamata. But everything else is screwed up. Because in the case where he brought achas lamala v'achas lamata of the other two, one of which was completely mefurash, one is Rachel's and one is Leah's, oh, that's really a disaster. Because then there's nothing we can do. But how about the other case? How about where it was mefurash? This one is a chatas and this one is an oil, but not the name of the bargain. So now, according to the way Rav Adi Bar Rava understood Rabbi Yoshua, what should be the halacha? Even if it were the oila that was brought lamata, it would still be a kosher chatas. And since you didn't say that it had to be X's chatas, could easily have been Y's chatas, in that case, it should be a kosher bird, and they can now split the other chataot, but they've got one kosher chatat. According to Rav Adi Bar Rava, there is one kosher chatat in the mixture here. Is this clear? The only way we got out of the question earlier is we said, well, you're bringing me a case where the chatat belonged to Rachel and the ola belonged to Leah. Obviously, it's not going to help Rachel to have Leah's ola becoming a kosher chatat. But in this case, you talked about one of these kinim being stuma. Then that means that the stuma case is now, I'm sorry, mufurash, but not mufurash in the Baalim, satum in terms of the Baalim. So the case which is now, we have one case, again, one case in which we defined the Baalut and the Korb. One case where we didn't define anything, which is kosher completely. One case in which we defined the Korban, but not the Baalim. So years since we didn't define the Baalim, our question comes back, our original question comes back. We said that the way Rav Adi Bar Rava understood Rabbi Yeshua, at least one of those cases should be kosher, because the Eila brought Lamata becomes a Chata, so who cares? You're saying, first of all, it might even be the Chatas that was brought Lamata, so it might even be 100% kosher. But even if I inverted it and I brought the Ola Lamata, that's not a disaster, it's still a kosher Chatas. So you'll say, ah, but it's the wrong person's. I never said who owns what. I left it open. So at least we should have one chatas shera besides the cane stuba, which is kosher anyway. Because achas lamala v'achas lamata doesn't matter. It automatically is kosher. Okay? So instead of saying we all have two kosher birds, we should have three kosher birds. Two chataot and one ola. So therefore, let's see that inside. V'ilu mefurashim lo. The ones that we explained which one is which and not who owns what. No. V'amai. Why is that true? Nihi nami, even if it would be the ola that ended up greva lamata, according to Rav Adi Bar Rava, kimeshech, let it become now v'tavi chatata of, and now be kosher as an additional chatat. V'chi teima hadalok Rabbi Yeshua. And if you try to give me, so you find the Mishnah not like Rabbi Yeshua, so what's the tragedy? Rav Adi Bar Rava was coming to explain Rabbi Yeshua in our Mishnah. And this Mishnah, who's to say it's Rabbi Yeshua? There's no option but it's being Rabbi Yeshua. I am going to prove to you 100% that this is Rabbi Yeshua. Tanya, Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua, Hashem sheshachato b'tzafon l'shem shlamim yochia, sheshinat shmo noalim bo, avatal tatamei al hola, afapi sheshinat shma shnim aluba. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua, loim amarta b'Hashem shim shinat shmo lo shinat bekomo, Tomar ba'ola shishinat shma vishinat mikoma. Omar lo Rebbe Eliezer, okay, I'll bring you a case where we change two parameters. על שם ששחטו בדרום לשם שלמים יוחיה, ששינה את שמו, and also שינה את מקומה. אמר לו רב אליעזר, well, it's all very nice. That's two out of three ain't bad, you know. Al sham sheshachato bedorom, sorry, over there, says Rabbi Yeshua, lo imamart ba sham sheshinat shemo v'shinat mekomo, but lo shinat ma'asam. Tomar ba'olam, where you deal all three, shinat shema ve'et ma'asea v'shinat mekomo. And he left it at that. Omar Rava, and why was it left at that? Why not simply continue the accretion of changes? V'neimalei al sham sheshachato bedorom, L'shem shlamim b'shinui ba'alim, where we've got triple shinui. Shinat shmo, shinat mekomo, and essentially shinat ma'asav. Now, obviously he didn't say that because he understood that it would have been a meaningless thing to say. Why? Midaloka amalehachi shmamina, that he finally got the message. And nachit le Rabbi Eliezer, le taimed Rabbi Yeshua. And what is that taimed Rabbi Yeshua? As Rav Ada Bar Ava pointed out, Omer Haya Rabbi Yoshua, Olata Of, She'asa'a Lamata, Kima'ase Chatat, L'shem Chatat, the point is, that Kivin Shemalak Basiman Echad, Nimshechet V'naseit, Chatat Of. But if that's true, wouldn't it also be true in the inverse? That Chatat Of, Nami, She'asa'a Lamala, Kima'ase Ola, Michal Molik Basiman Echad, Timashech V'tavi Olata Of. Now, v'chitem ha'achanami, v'am Rabbi Yochanan, mishum Rabbi Bena'a, kach yatzah shal mishnah, which I assume means, my love, exactly as we have it. I don't attempt to create any additional machlokas that are not clear here. So, kach yatzah shal mishnah v'tulo. Well, maybe not, maybe on the contrary. As the model of the Sefer, kach yatzah shal kula mishnah, maybe that's what he means. Rav Ashi, Omer, I don't even understand what's bothering you. It isn't a mirror image. Because Mishlama Olata Of Shasalamata Kamase Chatat L'shem Chatat. The point is that I can be Machshir. Now the Chatat B'Simen Echad. The Ola would only be Mukhsha B'Shnei Simanim. Okay? No matter what you look at over here, an Olata Of cannot be done Lamata. So therefore there's nothing about this that suggests that I've got an Eila P'sula. So therefore, given the Molak Basiman Echad, Nimshechet, V'nasit Chatata Of. But the Chatata Of, I mean, over there, the Malika, there's nothing about the Malika. I mean, it could be that it would still be a Chatas that I did the Malika Lamala. What's your problem with that? V'chomakom is Kshera. So what do I do now? I'm Molak Basiman Echad. And I just parceled it because it was Shinei Hashem. So it's Yifsula. Ki Oda Molak B'Yidach Siman Echim Mamshich V'Avi Olata Of. So now there's no way for me to be mitaken it. I have nothing to do. Gufa. Omar Ravada Barava Omer Haya Rabbi Yeshua Latov Shasal Matak Masi Chatat Hashem Chatat Kimon Shemalak Basiman Echad Nimshechet Menaseit Chatat Of. I got a problem about this. It's inconsistent with the way Rabbi Yeshua comes across in the Mishnah in Kinim, which we're going to ultimately prove has to be Rabbi Yeshua. That is, that in a case, we have two women, one of whom owes a chatat lezu, the other is a ola lezu. Asa shteyem lamala mechze kosha mechze posa, shteyem lamata mechze kosha mechze posa, but achas lamala vachas lamata, we don't know which. Then we got a problem and shteyem are psulo, because I have to assume the worst. And ani omer chatat kreva lamala, and the ola was kreva lamata. Now, even if that's the worst, according to the way Rav Ada Bar Ava understood Rabbi Yoshua, Nihinami de Ola Kreva Lamata, it would still be kosher as a chatas. Timashech v'davi chatata of. Yeah, except it's the wrong person's chatata of. Emad Omer Rabbi Yoshua, b'chad gavra. Over here, you introduced another problem. There's another person who owns the animal. Betray gavri mi Omer? Yeah, so I'll bring you a case where indeed there's no problem of who owns it. How about this case? Mishnah. Toshma. Chatat ve'ola v'stuma u'mefureshet. So now we've got actually six birds. Asakulam lamala, assuming that they were oilas, so all the oilas are kosher, all the chatas are psulas. You made them all lamata, again, mechza kosher, mechza pasa. But If you went chetzelamata, chetzelamata, nothing is kosher except the stuma that wasn't at all defined. Forget about defined who owns what. Wasn't even defined in terms of which is a chattis and which is an ayla. And therefore, in terms of who now owes what, it's mitzchalekit b'neihem. So, okay, they make a deal. I mean, the stuma is kosher, the ola is kosher, and the chattis is kosher. But note that it's very careful to say that's all that's kosher. The mefurash, which was left open as to ownership, is not kosher. Now, in this case, the most that we have is an ayla that's nasid lamata, and it doesn't belong to anybody else because the ownership was left undefined. So then nihi nami, that we would say the worst is that the ayla was kreva lamata. It could still be a chatas ha'ov. And don't try to tell me, v'chitei ma'adalok Rabbi Yeshua, because kinim is obviously entirely like Rabbi Yeshua, as I'm about to prove to you.